Welcome back to the Fulton County Gospel News Podcast. My name is Barry O'Dell, and I am your host. Fulton County Gospel News is a bi-monthly publication of The Church of Christ in Mammoth Spring, Arkansas. And if you'd like to learn more about our paper, just visit our website, mammothspringchurchofchrist.com, and there you can find all the necessary information. We're also on Facebook with Church of Christ at Mammoth Spring. You can also find us at Fulton County Gospel News Podcast on Facebook. And if you've not yet subscribed to our Podbean channel, on your computer, go to podbean.com, search for Fulton County Gospel News, or on your Apple or Android device, go to your App Store and look up Podbean, download that to your phone, and then you can follow Fulton County Gospel News Podcast. Today I want to read an article to you from the November 1977 edition of Fulton County Gospel News. The article is entitled The Good Man, and it was written by Leslie Leonard. This is a pretty interesting article, and I think it hits on some things that are extremely important and good for us to keep in mind as we think about spreading the gospel. There are challenges to spreading the gospel. There's no question about it. And I like the approach that this article took, so I'm going to read it to you, and then perhaps I'll have some comment at the end. There are two types of people who are difficult, if not impossible, to reach with the gospel. One is a person who has some religious connection and will not seriously examine his situation. The other type is a person who can be considered a good man. Both types may not lie, cheat, swear, commit adultery or fornication, etc. They're good neighbors and good citizens, but they are not active Christians. In fact, the latter type cannot see any reason why he should be a Christian, because he thinks he's good enough, and that God can't find anything bad enough in his life to call him into account. The problem is that such people do not have a clear understanding of their condition, and they don't realize the necessity of establishing and maintaining a positive relationship with God. They don't understand man's condition. The psalmist said of man, "They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any who did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." Psalm 14:1-3. The Apostle Paul quoted this psalm when he summed up man's condition in Romans 3:10-23. In verse 10 he wrote, "There is none righteous, no, not one." And in verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There are some who do not like to admit that even the best of us sin at times, and that we all will continue to sin as long as we are in a fleshly body. Yet the Bible teaches that there is a constant warfare between the fleshly and spiritual natures of man, with the fleshly nature getting the upper hand at times. Galatians 5:17. One thing that makes the Christian different from the non-Christian is his honesty or ability to recognize that he has committed sin. Paul wrote the Christians at Ephesus saying, "And you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Ephesians 2:1-3. This is not a very pretty picture of their previous lives, but it certainly is a true one, and the same thing can be said of Christians in any age. Jesus said he came to call sinners to repentance rather than the righteous. For a Christian to remain in a safe condition, he must recognize that he can and does still sin at times. John wrote Christians saying, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." 1 John 1:8-10. Anyone, either Christian or non-Christian, who thinks he is capable of living above sin is only deceiving himself. He is calling the Lord a liar. Satan has lulled him to sleep with a false sense of security. Although we recognize that we sin, it should not be used as an excuse to continue in sin, and because Christians do sin, we should not attempt to justify ourselves by what other people do. Recognizing our sinful condition should motivate us to depend upon the Lord for forgiveness. Safety lies in recognizing that we sin, repenting of those sins, and putting our trust in the Lord by obeying Him so that He can remove our sins. We cannot live above sin, but we can be free from the guilt of sin by letting Christ cleanse us. When a person recognizes that he is a lost sinner without hope, then he can accept God's gracious gift with thanksgiving, and we can in full assurance be confident that we are saved. Not because of something we have done, but because of what has been done for us by the Lord Jesus Christ when He died as a sacrifice for our sins. Many of those who are difficult to reach with the gospel because they consider themselves good enough already are often too proud to really look at themselves, see themselves as they really are, and admit that they are sinners. Since they do not have a clear picture of man's condition, and especially their own sinful condition, they will not seek Christ's help. It will be too late for them at the judgment to realize that they were not as good as they thought, and it will then be too late to do anything about their condition. So I thought this was a pretty good article. There are a couple of things I want to take issue with, though, and I'll do that last. But I want to address this. So the idea of these two groups of people, these two types of people who are difficult to reach with the gospel, that is a person who's already religious, perhaps a member of a denomination, or something like that, who's familiar with perhaps the Bible. They read it, but maybe they don't go to church. And then the good person, the moral person. I think what the author does well is by using Psalm 14, Romans 3, Galatians 5, 17, and passages like that, is that he's pointing out that apart from the cross of Christ, apart from the death of Jesus on the cross, apart from the gospel, man is lost, period. It doesn't matter his religious affiliation, it doesn't matter his goodness or his morality. If you are outside of Christ, you are lost, period. However, if we think we're good enough on our own and just being a good person is enough, it's hard to convince that type of person. I personally have dealt with those kind of people. In fact, several years ago, when I was preaching in Pensacola, Florida, I had a neighbor right across the street that I talked to several times while we were there about coming to church, perhaps attending a gospel meeting, having a Bible study. And his response was always, "Well, listen, a long time ago, I made a deal with the Lord." And listen, those were his words. When he went into the military, he told me that he made a deal with the Lord, that he would never go to church, but that he would be a good person. See, that type of person is hard to reach. They've already justified themselves, and for whatever reason, I'll never figure this one out, but for whatever reason, they think that they can deal with the Lord and tell Him what they'll do based on their own goodness. Nobody can be saved like that. So again, I think the article did a good job pointing that out, but I want to pick something apart here for just a minute, because I disagreed with something that the author wrote in this article. And I'm not calling into question his soundness. I mean, this article's near 50 years old, but it's something that I hear from time to time. It was near the end of the article, and he talks about accepting God's gracious gift and about salvation, and he says this, "Not because of something we have done, but because of what has been done for us by the Lord Jesus Christ when He died as a sacrifice for our sins." Listen, the fact of the matter, I try to stay away from that language myself, because the fact of the matter is this, you have to do something. You're not saved just because Jesus died on the cross. Now, without that death, you cannot be saved. But we also are familiar with passages like Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. There the Apostle Paul wrote, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." So, God's grace has appeared to all. It's available to all. Jesus died for all. But listen, the gospel teaches us that there are certain things not to do, and then in place of that, certain things to do. Deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Okay, we have to do that. And then you have to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So, and again, maybe this is just something personal for me, but I try to stay away from this concept of, well, there's nothing good that we have done to be saved. Well, is obeying the gospel a good thing? Well, of course it is. Nobody can be saved without obeying the gospel. Now, I understand the sentiment that God is the source of salvation and nobody can save themselves apart from God. But I think we need to be very careful with how we word this particular subject. While it is true that our own goodness cannot save us, it is not true to say that we can't do anything to be saved. That's absolutely incorrect. I mean, there are so many examples in the New Testament of people asking, "What must I do?" You have that in Acts chapter 2 on Pentecost. You have it in Acts chapter 16 with the Philippian jailer. You have the Lord telling Saul of Tarsus himself, go into the city and it will be told you what you must do. Now that was told to him while he was still a sinner apart from Christ. And of course that's when Ananias came to him. Saul spent 3 days in prayer and fasting, and Ananias, when he got there, said, listen, get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He had to do something. So perhaps, I don't think I'm splitting hairs here. I think we just need to be careful with how we word this concept of we're saved not because of something we have done. The fact of the matter is we have to do something. We have to respond to God's gracious offer of salvation. That doesn't take away from the grace of God. It doesn't take away from the love or mercy of God. It's just realizing that I have to obey Him in order to be saved. So yes, I like the article overall, The Good Man. And it is difficult to reach certain types of people. But here's the thing. We have to realize where we are apart from Christ. Just being a good man is not enough. Just being affiliated with some type of church is not enough. We need to obey the gospel. We need to be faithful to Christ. We need to be faithful to His church and not depend on our own goodness to save us. That's not going to cut it. Well, I appreciate you tuning into this episode of the Fulton County Gospel News Podcast. Again, if you'd like to receive our paper, either as a PDF or a hard copy through the mail, visit our website, mammothspringchurchofchrist.com, and get a hold of us, and we'll be happy to add you to one of our mail lists. Follow and subscribe to our Podbean channel, Fulton County Gospel News. You'll get notifications when a new episode comes out, and you can also interact with each individual episode. Thanks again for listening today, and I will catch you again on the next episode of the Fulton County Gospel News Podcast.